Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, December 31st, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can tune in then and join us, or you can also go on to Blog Talk Radio under my name and listen to the show at your convenience because they are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, you can go to my website, which is www.drdiolanier.com, and that's www.drdayolanier.com. Now, today's topic is organic versus conventional foods. What should we be eating? And before I even get into talking about our topic today, I hope everyone had a happy, healthy, and safe holiday season. So I hope you had a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy Kwanzaa. Today, as I mentioned, is December 31st, and it's New Year's Eve, and hopefully we all will make health, wellness, and fitness a priority for 2009. So we were off last week, but during our December 17th show, we answered frequently asked questions about exercise and physical activity. Now, I mentioned on the last show that I would give you some healthy holiday eating tips, and hopefully this information isn't a day late and a dollar short, as my father would say, especially since many of the holidays have passed already, but it is New Year's Eve, and this information will also be helpful for future reference. So here goes, healthy holiday eating tips. The first, eating rich traditional foods for one meal usually is not going to hurt you, but the problem comes in when we overindulge for days or even weeks on end. And so at times like this, and it's New Year's coming in, the danger doesn't always lie in what we're eating, but how much we're eating. So you want to make sure we keep control on the portions. Have a healthy, light meal or snack to take the edge off of your hunger before you go into a party. Try not to leave bowls of chocolate, candy, and nuts around where it's going to be too easy to keep on helping yourself after you've gotten some the first time. If you're serving nuts, why don't you serve them in the shell rather than ready shelled, because it's going to take time and patience in order to crack them, and that's going to make your consumption lower, which will be good, especially since nuts are high in fat. Another thing is to make sure that you are eating and taking in vegetables and salads. You want to fill up your plate with those, but hold back on creamy dressings, butter, and mayonnaise. Don't major out on meat, so also include dishes with vegetables, fruit, and grains. And if you're at something where there's a help-yourself buffet, make sure you use a small plate and fill it just once. So don't pick the big plate and keep on filling it, but use a small one and fill it once. And if you have children or you be around children during usually any type of holiday, really, but with New Year coming in, you want to get them involved in eating healthy too. So this is a time, and it has been, for sweet treats and desserts and things of that nature. And you want to be kind of in the middle. You don't want to be too restrictive where you're telling them no all the time. And then you also don't want to give them free rein and let them have whatever they want. So what you can do is agree on a time where they can have the sweet treat, and then distribute it yourself so that they can, you know, have a little something but not too much. Make sure you get off the couch at least once a day and go for a half-hour walk and take the kids along with you if you have them. Keep up with fresh fruit and vegetables over the holiday season. So if you have a bowl, say you're having a New Year's party, if you have a bowl where you have easy-to-pill citrus fruit where people can help themselves, or before your meal, if you put out a dish with carrot sticks and apple slices or cubes of fresh pineapple on the table, you would be surprised at how fast they vanish when they're easily available to people. Another good tip for New Year's Eve, you want to avoid too much alcohol. So try alternating alcoholic beverages, if you're having them, with water so that you don't take in too much alcohol and you can balance out the effects of the alcohol. And last but not least, we all want to remember a very sobering thought. Eating 250 excess calories every day for a year would lead to a weight gain of 26 pounds. Now, I just want to remind you, it's very easy, if you're not careful, to eat 250 excess calories. You could do that by drinking 2 cans of soda. You can do it by eating a candy bar or a big bag of chips. So you want to just keep that in mind, because excess calories equals excess weight if we are not exercising and making sure we're eating the right types of foods. So hope that is helpful for you as we head into the new year. So today our topic, as I mentioned, is organic versus conventional foods. And what I'd like to do is provide you with information to help you decide what to eat. Now, the terms organic and conventional describe the ways the food items are grown and or raised and produced. And when we're using those terms, we're talking about produce, which are fruits and vegetables, grains, meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products. Now, usually what does it all mean? I mean, you're standing in the supermarket and you're trying to figure out, you know, should I buy organic? Is the organic healthier? Does it taste better? What's going on? What's the difference? And so the hoopla over organic foods has been increasing over time, and actually sales of organic foods in the United States jumped from $23 billion in 2002 to $40 billion in 2006. And also the availability of organic foods has increased as well. So it's a good idea to know what it all means as you're going into the supermarket, so you can know, make an educated decision and choice. So organic refers to how farmers grow and process the food. And organic farming methods differ from conventional farming methods in several ways. One, conventional farming uses chemical fertilizers to promote plant growth, while organic farming employs manure and compost in order to fertilize the soil. Conventional method farming methods spray pesticides in order to get rid of pests, while organic farmers turn to insects and birds, mating disruption, or traps in order to achieve that goal. Conventional farming uses chemical herbicides in order to manage weeds, and organic farming rotates crops. They hand weed, or they pick the weeds by hand, or they use mulch in order to do that. And when raising animals, conventional farmers give animals antibiotics, growth hormones, and medications to spur growth and to prevent disease. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but organic farmers feed their animals organic feed and usually allow them to roam. So that will also make sure that the animals have a balanced diet and clean housing. Now, the U.S. Department of Agriculture certifies organic products according to very strict guidelines, and organic farmers must apply for certification, they need to pass a test, and they have to pay a fee. So it's important, you know, to know that. And it's also important to note that not all organic food becomes certified. So there may be farmers or growers that use organic methods of not using pesticides, herbicides, and things like that, but they have not gone through the process of becoming certified. But all certified food is organic, so that's a little something to keep in mind. Now, if you're in the supermarket and you pick something up and you see the USDA organic label, what that means is that 95% of the food's ingredients were organically produced. So the seal is voluntary. They don't have to have it on, but I think if people are going through the effort to provide organic foods, most producers use that if they are organic. Products that are 100% organic are labeled as such, and they're usually given a small USDA seal. Now, some product labels may also state that the product was, quote, made with organic ingredients, end quote. And what that means is that the product contains at least 70% organic ingredients in the product. So is organic better? That's the million-dollar question. I bet going back and forth between organic and conventional farmers, it's something, you know, that we need to ask ourselves because cost is a factor, and I also talk about that a little bit more later. But shoppers may choose to buy organic foods for a variety of reasons. There are certainly, environmental reasons to go organic. According to the USDA guidelines, organic farming practices are designed in order to reduce pollution and conserve water and soil. They don't release synthetic pesticides, which can harm wildlife, and they also seek to preserve biodiversity and also local ecosystems that are where the farmers are having their land and their crops. So many people choose organic foods to avoid any risk associated with pesticides, herbicides, and other chemicals that are used in conventional farming. Parents may be concerned that exposure to those types of chemicals might harm the development of their children, and therefore they choose organic. And actually, there are studies that support the fact that organic diets lower children's exposure in pesticides. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, 60% of herbicides, 90% of fungicides, which kill fungus, and 30% of pesticides used in traditional farming are potentially cancer-causing. And the average child is exposed to four times more cancer-causing pesticides than adults. And one reason for that is because children consume more produce per pound of body weight. So children are smaller, and so when they're eating produce, they have more of it per their weight. Now, environmental toxins, including those that are used in traditional farming, but not limited to those, they've been linked to asthma, childhood cancers, including leukemia, and learning and behavioral disorders. Also, heart disease, osteoporosis, migraines, and hyperactivity have been linked to additives not found in organic food. Organic foods contain 20 times more nutrients in some cases than non-organic foods, including vitamin C, calcium, iron, magnesium, and chromium. And organic foods also have higher levels of antioxidants, which may help reduce the risk of certain types of cancer. Actually, there was a study that was done that showed that organic ketchup, of all things, had 57% more of the antioxidant lycopene than regular ketchup. Not that I promote eating all tons of ketchup at all, but that is something important, you know, to take a note of. Also, there was a study done from Newcastle University in England that showed organic milk contained 67% more vitamins and antioxidants, as well as omega-3s, than conventional milk. Important to note. And then another study published in October 2007 issue of the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, found that organically grown tomatoes had more vitamin C than the conventional tomatoes. So all of those are important things to note. There is some research information that shows that proof of that, but there probably still needs to be more done before you can make a sweeping statement that all organic foods are better. But there definitely is some good proof and evidence that organic foods are great to have. Another factor in a decision to purchase organic food in the environment, industrial farming uses more oil than other industries in the United States, than any other for that matter. And according to the EPA, or the Environmental Protection Agency, farm pollution is responsible for 70% of waterway pollution. So when people are farming organically, it emphasizes the use of renewable resources and the conservation of soil and water by rotating the crops and other practices like that. Since organic farmers don't use pesticides, herbicides, or fungicides, air and water pollution is greatly reduced. And that's really a good point, something good to point out. Okay, so we know that it's pretty good for you, and it's something that's great to have, but what about the cost? I mean, that's the main concern for a lot of people, is that it costs so much in order to eat organic, and especially in this economy, that can be something that's hard for people to stomach. Why do organic foods cost more? There are several reasons why organic foods are more expensive. Organic farmers pay more for their organic animal feed, and the farming is more labor-intensive since the farmers are avoiding chemical fertilizers and pesticides. Because they don't rely on herbicides, for instance, they rely more on hand weeding, and so that's going to be labor-intensive. And they also avoid chemical fertilizers, so they're using compost and animal manure, which is bulkier and more expensive to ship. This also means that their crop yield that they have is going to be lower, the amount of crop that they have is going to be lower. Conventional farming tends to use every acre of the farmland in order to grow crops, while organic farmers rotate their crops to keep the soil healthy. So all of those production costs means that organic farming tends to be more expensive than conventional farming, and that is reflected in how much you pay at the grocery store when you're buying those products. Now, one of the good things is that, it's a supply and demand type of situation, so there's more of a demand in some cases because people are concerned about the toxins and pesticides, and so their organic foods are more readily available, and the price has come down a bit, but there still is a difference to take note. Probably if you're trying to go green, which is a good way to live and to be, the most green way to get your produce would be through a local farmer's market. That way the food's going to travel a shorter distance, which means less carbon emissions, through fuel. And then the food hasn't been shipped hundreds of miles or processed to keep it preserved during transport. So that actually would be the best way. And actually, ideally, all of us could eat organic foods produced on local farms that's affordable. I mean, that would be the ideal. But unfortunately, that's not practical or even possible in some areas, especially, in parts of the United States. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, but we have winter there, and so it's going to be hard to have certain things that you're able to farm in those times. And, in fact, organic milk, fruits, and vegetables that are found in the supermarkets these days typically aren't locally grown. Most likely they've been shipped from a distant, big, organically certified factory farm. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, people who favor locally grown, conventionally produced foods argue that those foods are fresh off the farm, they taste better than organics that have been refrigerated and shipped for like a large, vast distance, and there's something to be said about that. So still, Some organic foods, as I mentioned, provide higher levels of vitamins than those that are found in conventionally grown foods. So if locally grown organic foods aren't available to you, it is important to be aware of the fruits and vegetables that are highest and lowest in pesticides, and I will talk about that in a little bit. We'll go over that list. If you've heard of it before, it's called the Dirty Dozen and the Cleanest 12 that the Environmental Working Group put out, and I'll talk about that shortly. Another thing that you can do is look for nearby farms that avoid using chemicals and pesticides, even though they're not certified organic. I mentioned that there's a fee and there's a lot of paperwork involved, and so some small farmers might not be able to afford the time and expense required to win that certification, the organic certification, but they still farm without pesticides or chemicals. So you can investigate that option by visiting green markets in your area, as well as farm stands and farmers markets in your area. Another thing you could do is plant your own organic garden with seasoned vegetables and herbs, or you could form a neighborhood co-op in order to maintain a community garden. I've actually seen some reports where they've done that at school as kind of a green project for school, planted a garden. And so, you know, I think that's a wonderful idea if you're able to do that. In case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking about organic versus conventional foods and what's better for us to eat. And getting back to the Environmental Working Group, they actually put out a shopper's guide to pesticides and produce, and that's where the Dirty Dozen and the Cleanest 12 came from. And they have a lot of great information on their website, which is www.foodnews.org, and that's food news as in newspaper, foodnews.org, where you can actually download a wallet-sized shopping guide in order so you're not in the supermarket in the produce section like, what did they say? What am I supposed to get that's organic, and what is okay to get conventional? You can download that and slip it right in your purse or wallet and have that available. But as I mentioned, the reason we should care about pesticides is there's a growing consensus in the scientific community that small doses of pesticides and other chemicals can adversely affect people, especially during vulnerable periods of fetal as well as childhood growth and development. And those exposures at that time can really have long-lasting effects. So because the toxic effects of pesticides are worrisome, they're not well understood, and in some cases they're not even completely studied, we all should be wise to minimize our exposure to pesticides whenever it's possible. What the Environmental Working Group did was they did a simulation of thousands of consumers eating high and low pesticide diets, and it showed that people can lower their pesticide exposure by almost 90% by avoiding the top 12 most contaminated fruits and vegetables and eating the least contaminated instead. And eating the 12 most contaminated fruits and vegetables will expose a person to about 14 pesticides per day on average, and eating the 12 least contaminated will expose a person to less than 2 pesticides a day. So that's pretty significant. Another question people may ask is, will washing and peeling help? Nearly all of the data used to create these lists considers how people typically wash and prepare produce. For example, apples were washed before they tested them, and bananas were peeled, and things like that. While washing and rinsing fresh produce will reduce the levels of some pesticides, it doesn't completely eliminate them. And also peeling, while it reduces the exposure, you're also losing nutrients when you're peeling things. It goes right out into the garbage with the peel as well as some of the fiber. So the best option for that is to eat a varied diet, to wash all of your produce, and to choose organic when possible in order to reduce the exposure to potentially harmful chemicals. Now, the Environmental Working Group's Shopper's Guide to Pesticides in Produce is based on the results of nearly 51,000 tests for pesticides on produce that was collected from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration between 2000 and 2005. And a detailed description of all the criteria that they used in developing the rankings, as well as a full list of fresh fruits and vegetables that have been tested, is available on the website at www.foodnews.org. But just to give you the quick rundown, the Dirty Dozen, which are the ones that were found to have the most pesticides, and they suggested buying organic for those foods, were in order from the worst on down, peaches. Peaches top the list, unfortunately. So for those of you that like peaches, it's definitely better to buy organic for those. Followed by apples, sweet bell peppers, celery, nectarines, strawberries, cherries, lettuce, imported grapes, pears, spinach, and potatoes. And then, so those are the Dirty Dozen, where we should buy organic because they've been found to have to be the most contaminated with pesticides. The next that are on this little guide are the cleanest 12, or the consistently clean, and those were fruits and vegetables that were found to be the least contaminated. And listing those in order, starting at the best and going down, would be onions. Onions were at the top of the list for the cleanest 12 and the lowest in pesticides, followed by avocado, then frozen sweet corn, pineapples, mango, frozen sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi, bananas, cabbage, broccoli, and then eggplant. So if I did not name one of your favorites, you can check out the full list at their website, at www.foodnews.org. I'm actually going to list the Dirty Dozen and the Cleanest 12 on my website as well, www.drdialanier.com. So you could reach that anyway. Basically, I mentioned that you can get detailed of the criteria that they used, but in general, the measures that they looked at, the measures of contamination, were the percent of the samples that were tested with detectable pesticides, the percent of samples with two or more pesticides, the average number of pesticides found on a sample, the average amount in parts per million of all pesticides found, the maximum number of pesticides found on a single sample, and then the number of pesticides found on the commodity in total. So there's a complete list. Please check it out so you can get that shopper's guide, and you can have it so you can make the best choice possible. And then that way you can, kind of try to fit some organic foods into your budget if it's possible at all. I mentioned before that reducing our exposure to these pesticides and chemicals is a smart thing to do. And the more that scientists learn about the toxicity of pesticides, the more questions are raised about the potential toxic effects on people. Now, pesticide manufacturers will often portray the unresolved scientific issues and the uncertainty that comes with them as safety. So what you'll see are statements like, quote, "There is no conclusive evidence of harm to humans," end of quote. And so that's a little bit misleading because it makes you believe that exposures to pesticides and toxic chemicals are okay, like it hasn't been shown to harm humans. But that's not completely true, and the absence of knowledge is not proof of safety. So there needs to be more research, and there need to be more studies that determine the problem. And there are actually two reasons why it's difficult to link human harm to toxic chemicals like pesticides. First, most of the safety tests for regulatory agencies that are done on like higher dose of chemicals. They don't look at the lower doses that can affect people. And then the second thing is that we living around and eating the foods, we all are contaminated with trace levels of hundreds of different chemicals. So sometimes it's impossible to attribute a specific health effect to any one of them. in certain situations. So it's hard to prove. And so we as consumers and as people in general, we need to get in our fruits and vegetables, but we need to do it in a way that is healthy as humanly possible. So I hope that's helpful for you. If you're able to buy organic, please do. If you are not able to buy all things organic, because of the expense, then make sure you choose to buy the Dirty Dozen produce as organic if possible, and make sure you wash things very well so that we can be safe while we're eating our fruits and veggies. I want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other health care professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please tune in next week when our topic will be Zen Moment, using meditation and prayer to achieve wellness and goals. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday, and until then, be healthy and God bless. Take care.